Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 385 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week with...
Kitty.
Bex, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing well. I'm recovering from the joys that is many events back to back across a single bank holiday weekend.
Yes. And being ill, which is an extra like level of joy to go on top of that.
Yeah, much as I talk about playing games on easy mode and how they're great for accessibility and disabilities and things, apparently I like to play life on hard mode.
Yes. It has been a bit of a hectic weekend, so if this is a bit less energetic than maybe it usually is, that'll be why.
Take pity on us.
Because yeah. I've just come back off 3 days at MCM, which were wonderful, but I'm completely drained. And you did 1 day at MCM, but have been doing a bunch of other stuff as well. So what have you been up to?
Yeah, I did the Barclays Game Frenzy on the Thursday. I did MCM on the Friday. I collapsed on the Saturday and then was back on Sunday. So I've done a reasonable amount of things in a short space of time, which included a lot of talking, as you can probably hear with my already failing voice.
Yes, I could certainly tell. You're getting over what tonsillitis is also. Fun!
<Yeah. laughs> The joys of tonsillitis. Yeah, non-contagious, just there to destroy me.
Yes, excellent amount of fun. So let's start with MCM, I guess, because you were down there on the Friday. Anything particular catch your eye while you were wandering around?
I was mostly going around trying to sort of say hello to everyone and catch up with everyone and see who was there. I noticed that the Comic Village and the Artist Alley type areas, that those were really well laid out this time. Mm-hmm. I saw that they had individual booths with a lot more space behind them than they normally have. I know there's been a lot of talk about the costs for stands and things going up at these events, and it was really good to see that they had, you know, got more bang for their buck when they were getting these booths, because they're now so much more spacious and larger and better laid out. So it was really nice to see like how many different indie comics and artists and things were being represented, and lovely to say hello to everybody there. There was a really good range of stalls. I noticed it seemed to be really evenly divided between different types of merch, the big name brands, the smaller indie brands selling merch, secondhand stuff, new stuff, lots of different things were going on. So it seemed like it was a really nice mix.
Yeah, there was a really varied amount of stuff, I think, this time around. Like you say, there were things that were sort of AAA games were there, quite a lot of indie game stuff, as well as the sort of comic book stuff and all the other kind of general geeky stuff, a lot of anime bits and pieces. The May show, they're focusing a bit more on the kind of anime animation voice stuff than they are in the one later in the year. They've made a distinct choice in terms of the guests and the people that they're aiming those shows at. They've made the May one a slightly sort of different setup to the later one in the year, which is what, October, I think. Other one is. The October one is more film and TV focused, whereas this one is a bit more sort of anime and that sort of stuff focused. And I think that is reflected in the stuff that's there in terms of the merchandise as well. But there were things, there was a drawing pad thing, which I was playing around with quite a lot, which was beautiful, but it was 1800 quid, but it was, you know, but if you're a professional artist, that's actually not a particularly bad price. And I spent quite a long time just messing around drawing stuff on that. So you've got big things like that there, as well as people selling Viking horn goblets and stuff like that. It's this really kind of wide range of things. Did you see any of the panels, or was it literally just sort of running around looking at the merch and stuff?
I didn't get to see a huge amount of the panels. I did stop and listen to some of the ones on the side stages, because they had a large amount of stages and areas for talks at this time as well. Like, yeah. I was really pleased to see it wasn't just the main stage with all of the incredible, like, top name guests that they have. They also had a variety of smaller stages with creator-led content going on as well. So I got to see that Mayamada there. They were doing different panels. They did one on diversity and things in the game industry. They also did another one that was looking at comic books and narrative storytelling and things. So I saw a couple of the things they were putting together. So there was a good wide range of things. And I kind of went past. I listened to a little bit of some prop creators talking about how to get into cosplay and giving tips and practical advice. So there was lots of things you could just kind of stop and listen to as you were wandering around, as well as the big things on the main stage that you needed to queue up for.
Yeah, that was a good point with this one. There was four or five stages, I think, because there's the live stage, which they actually live stream that online. So there are guests across the board that come up and they do things on that. There's obviously the main stage where they hold the big exclusives and all that sort of stuff and the larger guests. There's center stage, which was doing some smaller things. Again, that's a sort of variety of stuff, as well as these other sort of like the creator stages and that sort of thing. The fringe stage, which I don't know if you even spotted, because they'd actually put the fringe stage in the bit where you actually enter, which was a little weird. From talking to people, I don't think it was actually planned to be there. It was supposed to be outside.
Yeah, and they had to change it. They put up a big notice saying they'd have to change it, but I couldn't figure out where it was inside. But that'll be because I didn't come through that entrance. I came in the other way. Because I kind of just went, I went to the bit where you normally pick up the press passes.
Yes.
And the office wasn't there, and I asked them confused, and I got directed around a few different places.
Yes.
So I think I only went into the venue via a different entrance. That's why I missed it.
Right, yeah, because they'd altered the incoming and outgoing, the bit where you usually go in through the front door, they were using as an exit, and they were sending everybody sort of slightly off to one of the side rooms and funneling most people through that. And the fringe stage was wedged up in a corner. It was supposed to be outside. It wasn't. That isn't the fault of Reed Pop. That's all I'll say. But there were a number of things that were in that room inside that were supposed to be outside. I don't know how much people actually saw of the stuff that was on the fringe stage, because it's such a shame that wasn't outside, actually, because it was a beautiful day.
It was a lovely day. I'm assuming it was down to something to do with stage setup or health and safety, but they did put up a number of social media posts saying we have had to move this for reasons outside of our control, and they did try to signpost it as much as possible. I'm just rubbish at directions and hadn't been in that particular area.
They tend to do a lot of they have dancers and stuff on there and music artists and that sort of thing, which is fine, apart from the fact that where they had put it was the other side of the wall to the main stage. So there were occasions on the main stage where you've got this really heavy bass going of like on the fringe stage, and it was kind of bleeding through, which was a bit of a shame. But there was all that sort of stuff going on there. It's just a shame that it wasn't outside in the sunshine, because it was beautiful all weekend. I mean, the Saturday was insane. I've never even sort of pre-COVID, I don't remember it ever being that busy. Like, you walked out onto the steps and looked down, and that, there's a big grass area. If you've never been to the XL, there's a sort of huge run of steps that run up to the XL, and there's a big grass area out the front, and the cosplayers and stuff tend to sort of congregate down there. And usually you go outside when inside gets a bit sort of claustrophobic, because there's so many people in there. Usually you think, oh, I'll go outside, bit of fresh air, you know, bit more space. you walked outside on Saturday, you could barely move. It was just like you couldn't see the grass in the grass area, and it was just back to back people. It was insane. I've never seen it that busy. They obviously had sold all the tickets, I think, at that point, but it was really impressive. Some of the cosplay I thought was superb as well. I don't know whether anything popped up for you.
I really liked the cosplay of the Excel Center that you managed to have a photo yes. of. That was,
yeah.
That was up there as what I was not expecting to see. That was very cool.
Yeah, every con there is one cosplayer who does some wonderfully silly cosplay. Like the first time I think I went to that, there was somebody cosplaying as Optimus Amazon Prime, which was sort of an Optimus Prime outfit made out of cardboard boxes. And ever since then, I've kind of seen one of those really off-the-wall weird cosplays. And there's always one that just really sticks out for me. And this year, it was somebody that had come along cosplaying as the actual Excel Center, which was just genius. So yes, that was
it's the cosplay we needed. There's a couple of the big anime events that we get in the UK, and people sometimes go cosplaying as the really dated carpets in the hotel and you get photos of people lying on the carpet blending in with it in a very kind of Solid Snake but 80s carpet kind of sneak way.
That's brilliant. I like that. There was some great cosplay out there, and a lot of people, you sort of standard stuff of like loads of Harley Quinns of various varieties. That's the one good thing about Harley Quinn these days, is there's so many different variants of that character that, you know, you can get hundreds of different costumes and never see the same one twice. Saw some great Star Wars cosplays. These are going up on our Instagram as well. So there was that sort of stuff. There was a bunch of sad looking people in Red Hood outfits because Corin Walters, who was supposed to be there, cancelled the day before, who of course plays Red Hood on the Titans TV series. Clearly some people that had gone, like had done their Red Hood cosplays specifically, I think, to be able to go and meet him. And yeah, then he had to cancel, unfortunately.
Do you have your Red Hood cosplay with you?
I didn't take mine with me, no. I've not used it the last couple of times, just because it's
too popular now. You only like doing it when it was hipster.
Yeah, when it was yes, it's I'm too cool for it now, but yes, it's just carrying all that stuff around when I'm trying to kind of run backwards and forwards to things and that sort of stuff. So there was that sort of stuff. There was an older couple that was cosplaying in Warhammer, traditional fantasy Warhammer stuff, which was just brilliant because it's so rare that you see older cosplayers particularly doing that sort of cosplay, you know, because it was really elaborate, like full-blown Warhammer cosplay, and that was fantastic. Lots and lots of good stuff. There will be cosplay photos and cosplay edits going up on the Instagram. The XL one, if you want to see it, I have already posted on Instagram, which is geektown.uk, so you can go and check that out. But there are some edits.
Too good not to immediately share.
Yeah, just brilliant that. I really, really love it. There's lots of stuff going up in the next sort of week or so. There'll be more and more of those cosplay photos going up.
Yeah, I think of the things that I saw that I desperately wanted. I saw that the Sandwich Masters game, I've interviewed them before.
Yes.
From Big Punch Studio. They also make card games and things now, as well as their comic books. And they've got like a cool, like a mouse pad style pad for it now. So you can have like a play pad that has all the things on it. So that was really, really cool. Sandwich Masters is brilliant fun. Yes. If you want to build creative, ridiculous, possibly slightly poisoned sandwiches as a card building competitive game. Very simple, very, very fun. And it was cool to see that they had some new things and some upgrades and stuff for that. I also saw a giant Optimus Prime.
Oh, wow.
Which was the Agora Models kit. And they're releasing that as like one of those, you know, like you get a magazine each month styling.
Oh, yeah. Somebody mentioned this, said it was really awesome. Somebody else had spotted that. I didn't see it myself.
It's like that when you get a bit every month, you subscribe for like 12 months or whatever, and you get a bit. But it's a complete metal kit that you have to bend and do a little bit of soldering for electronics with. And it's huge. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm kind of making a motion with my hands as I try to figure out approximately, like, I don't know, I guess the entirety of my torso at least.
Wow.
As a very inaccurate, doesn't help anyone listening whatsoever measure of size. And it had an optional like extra large base as well, and it lit up. You could open Optimus's chest cavity and had the AllSpark and stuff in there. Like, it was amazing. And I was just like, I wanted that immediately. obviously it's many hundreds of pieces and over 12 months is not the cheapest thing. However, no. It is also one of the largest Optimus Prime models with a vast amount of articulation made from solid metal that you're ever going to see. It was really, really nicely done. So there was that. Also, I reconnected with the lovely people at Demon Hunter Bricks.
I don't know
if you've seen them.
No.
They make Lego. So he uses genuine Lego parts and he designs his own kits. So you can buy his kits and they're all based on different lightsabers and phasers guns and things from movies and games.
Yes, I have seen them. I didn't actually see them here. I think they were at Wales and I spotted them at Wales. But yeah, they're fantastic, those kits.
They're so good. They're so to scale and they're so accurate. And he's like expanded his range massively since I last saw them at one of the events. So you can get everything from Han Solo's DL-44, like heavy blaster, through to various different versions of everyone's lightsabers, the stormtrooper blasters. You've got like Frodo's Sting sword from Lord of the Rings. You've got loads of different kits. And he sells all the kits so you can make them yourself. And they are so accurate.
Yeah.
They're really nice. I keep meaning to get one.
Yeah.
I see it every time. Oh, they've got sonic screwdrivers as well now.
Yes, they have. I saw them last time. Yeah. I was blown away by those when I saw them at Wales. They are really impressive.
Definitely on my must buy list. It's like, who doesn't need a master sword but made of Lego?
Yes.
That you got to build yourself, you know?
Absolutely. No, I'm very much with you on that. They were really awesome. I didn't get that much time to sort of wander around stands and stuff, but there were some great things. There was the Park Beyond, which is an indie video game. It's a theme park.
Oh, yeah. I took a quick look at that. Yeah. I was like, that's kind of in our area, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. And they were at Insomnia as well. And they've got a closed beta thing running, so I played around with it a bit at home as well. But that's a really, really good, fun sort of, if you like the things like, you know, Planet Coaster and that sort of stuff. I really, really like what they've done with that, because there's a really nice graphic style. It's kind of got a sort of bit of the silliness of the 2-point games, the 2-point hospital, 2-point campus games, mixed in with the Planet Coaster stuff. So it's zanier than the Planet Coaster stuff, but it has that sort of narrative thing and the sort of jokiness of the 2-point stuff. That I really like the look of. I think it's being released next month sometime.
It's got a free build mode as well, which
yes.
I always really like, because sometimes I don't want to seriously play these games. I just want to make something preposterous.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed that with the Evil Genius series, Evil Genius 2. I've messed around in there. Free play one where you just get access to everything, just build something just for fun, you know?
Yeah.
And they have that mode for this as well. And I always think that's a really good addition to just be like, hey, have just the thing where you can just sandbox and just make the whole thing, but it looks like a T-Rex from above, you know, just because you can.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good way of just letting people be creative and play things more casually, as well as having the sort of full storyline sort of experience as well.
Yeah, it's really good that. As I say, I played around with it a bit at home and been really quite enjoying messing about with that. So I'm looking forward to that actually coming out on a release. In terms of the panels that we covered, there are videos and video clips. There will be sort of short video clips that will be stitched together, sort of going up onto the YouTube channel. But they did a really interesting panel for Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which was Rebecca Romijn, Ethan Peck, Celia Rose Gooding, and Melissa Navier. That's number one Spock, Uhura, and Ortegas. But none of them were there in person, but it wasn't like a video chat live. They actually had, you know, the sort of ABBA hologram thing that they've been selling.
I mean,
at the
I'm
going
to step in and say Miku did it first. Okay?
Well, yes. Okay, yes, that is true.
Before ABBA utilized the technology, it has been used previously. But yeah, it is the projection onto a pane of glass style holograms, which work really well and have a reasonable viewing angle on them as well. And I've been to whole concerts that have been put together that way for the things like Hatsune Miku, who is a virtual Vocaloid idol,
yes,
who is completely animated. And it works really well. Like, you have to kind of remind yourself occasionally and sort of look and kind of go, actually, yeah, that I can see that's on a pane of glass, because it does sell the illusion really nicely. And they work at quite a distance from the stage as well, and are still very clear.
I was really, really impressed with how that worked, because they had Alex Zane hosting that panel. He was sat on the stage, and then they had two of them were in LA and two of them were in New York. And they so they used it as an excuse to basically beam them in, obviously, because, you know,
you have to. I mean, if they didn't, it would have been criminal, right?
They had them in, but it was the way that they got it set up. There were four of them in a row, sat on stools, and they'd clearly set up whatever sort of monitoring in the green screen room that they were sat in. They'd set the monitors up in the correct place. So if one of them was talking, the others would be looking towards them. So if the person on the sort of left was talking, the people on the right of them would be looking, would look across left to sort of like whilst they were listening. That worked really, really well. And it was the same, like they could actually, they had camera feeds as well. So when they did a Q&A session, so people were coming up and asking questions and they were looking at the right and the left side where they got people lined up. You know, I mean, it was like them being there. It was really well put together. Mm. Very, very impressed how they managed to sort of get that and they got the angles right. And yeah, I mean, really good. We have got some video footage of that. So that will go up as a panel onto the YouTube channel. There was also a Pokemon panel, which was a Pokemon reunion panel. It's the first time in 25 years that four of them had actually been in the same room together on a panel. So was Jay Goad, I think his name is, who does Mewtwo. There we go.
You were so close.
Veronica Taylor, who plays Ash, Rachel Lillis, who is Misty, and Eric Stewart, who is Brock. So it was the four of them, and they've never done a panel with the four of them before. So if you're a Pokemon fan, that should be really good. There'll be clips of that going up onto YouTube as well. That was sort of a 25th anniversary one. We also have a press panel interview with Veronica Taylor as well. So that's sort of a separate thing. And that's the whole interview will go up in one go for that. So that's a 15-minute interview specifically with Veronica.
Yeah, because Veronica's done so many things.
Yes.
Like, she's iconic. You start listening to sort of like the other things she's done, because she's not just Ash. She's Ash's mum as well, isn't she, in Pokemon?
Yeah.
She voiced the mother as well. She's done like a bunch of Sailor Moon voices and One Piece and things.
She has a lot of different voices. Rachel Lillis has got a lot of different voices as well. And Eric does a bunch of different voices. So they're all a whole variety of things. But Veronica was lovely and was kind of quite happy to come and sit in the press room and talk to us. So we've got an interview with her as well. There was an Our Flag Means Death panel, which was Con O'Neill, Nathan Fode, and Christian Nahn, who that's Izzy Hans, Lucius, and Wee John. Those are the three characters they play. Do you ever actually caught Our Flag Means Death? Because it is a wonderfully fun show.
It was one of those ones that I intended to watch, partly on your recommendation, and have not gotten around to because I've been on my endless rewatching cycles, which we can get into after we've finished your list.
Yes, that's great though. There is a lot of swearing in that panel, mainly from Con, particularly when he does get political at one point. But yes, there will be clips going up of that, and because that was brilliant, that panel. And if you've not seen Our Flag Means Death, it is a wonderful show. It's on BBC iPlayer actually, so you can go and check that out. And they did a panel which was Harvey Gillian, who is from What We Do in the Shadows, and it was supposed to just be him. And then towards the end of the panel, when they started doing the Q&As, they brought out Kay Van Novak as well, who is the guy that plays his master on the show, Nandor. So it ended up with the pair of them, and they were wonderful, being funny, entertaining, really, really great panel as well for that. So there are clips of those going up as well. So those are the four panels: Star Trek Strange New Worlds, Pokemon, Our Flag Green's Death, and What We Do in the Shadows. So keep an eye on the YouTube channel for those. Anything else from Comic Con particularly?
No, because I sadly wasn't quite capable of coping with the whole thing this time. I feel like I missed out on some things. But yeah, it was just a really lovely atmosphere and a beautiful sunny weekend for it. So it was, just good to see Comic-Con is definitely back to full strength now.
Oh yes, very much so. And I know MCM has put the entry tickets up a little bit from what they were previously, But even so, if you're going to go down for the day, it is worthwhile. You can have a wonderful day out, wander around for the day, probably still not see everything on it. I would say if you don't like crowds that much, go on Friday or Sunday if you can, because I mean, Saturday was insanely packed.
It was completely sold out on Saturday. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, I'm still slightly too ill to, yes. to be doing that.
As I say, I've never seen it quite that packed, even pre-COVID. It was mental. But yeah, I mean, even though the entry prices have gone up a little bit, it is still a really worthwhile day out. And they have, I think, don't know exactly what, but I've been told they've got some fairly big things planned for the OctoberCon as well. And as I say, the OctoberCon tends to be slightly bigger guests and a lot more exclusives and premiere stuff and that sort of thing, and a lot more TV and film stuff. So keep an eye out for the con in October. It will be immense, I'm sure. Outside of Comic-Con, what else have you been up to?
Well, for the last 3 weeks, I've been doing very little because I am ill. So that's not been very fun whatsoever. I have been going slowly stir crazy, as being ill is extremely boring. At least I can speak again now, though.
Yes, which is good.
Good for me, bad for everyone else, but good for me. But I've been for a lot of this year, I've actually been on a lot of a rewatching kind of binge. I've wanted to watch a lot of comfort TV and rewatch things. So I've been through rewatching all of Avatar: The Last Airbender. I rewatched all of Deep Space Nine.
Yes, I remember you mentioned those. Yes.
Rewatched all of Star Trek Voyager.
Wow.
I had forgotten how the end felt like there someone had just forgotten to press record any further past a certain point, you know. They're just kind of like the end and you're like, wait, what? We don't get any closure on this. So still enjoy the series, but yeah, just the ending really felt like someone just went, I want to go home now. Please just finish the episode. Very strange, because they knew that that was the final episode way in advance. It wasn't like they got axed or anything. And it really feels like it's missing an extra 20 minutes or so of sort of nicely wrapping, concluding, reuniting people that have been saying for so many seasons that they want to reunite with their family and friends and things. And they just sort of went, nah, no one wants to see that. So,
yes.
So that was kind of fun to sort of remember how just abruptly it ends. I because I've been ill, I was like, wait, did I just fall asleep for a minute? Nope, that was actually the end. I've just started rewatching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So right the way back, rewind all the way back to season one. And it's interesting to see how some episodes really hold up, how some of them you can see what it was aiming for, but it's not there yet. Mm-hmm. And how incredibly dated some bits look. I've just watched the one with the demon in the internet.
Oh, yes.
And Giles obviously does not like the internet. He's a library person. He likes books and things. But watching characters who are young and hip, like Buffy, she's 16, she's cool, she's into modern technology, she does computer science classes at school, having her go and ask people. So if I wanted to know where someone had sent one of these e-letters from, how could I find out where their computer is or who they really are? Do they write a profile for themselves on the interweb? It is like, and some of the language and the technology, because you kind of like, you know, it's a 90s thing, and obviously the movie that it started with came out before then. So for a lot of the time, you can just suspend disbelief. I think it's when things are technology that are so innocuous and part of everyday life now are being described as strange and newfangled, and the terminology isn't quite down yet.
Like
they go and just try and delete all of Willow's files by just looking for a folder called Willow on a machine that's connected to a modem, and they mention they're all modem together, and I'm like, but her files appear to be on the desktop of this one random machine in the library. That's not really how that works.
Yes.
And that's been quite fun. But some of the episodes, kind of narratively and character-wise, like they do hold up pretty well. Like I've been quite pleasantly surprised to see, although, you know, a lot of it's very cheesy. That's completely intentional, you know. I rewatched also the unaired pilot version of the first episode as well.
Oh, yes, I have seen that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a different Willow. Yes.
There's a couple of people different. The headmaster's different as well.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a few scenes I really like in the pilot that didn't make it into the first episode that I'm still sad about. There's a demon who dies and does a bit of a oh no kind of thing. And there's a fight that happens below a stage, like they've fallen down. And
right.
the vampire kind of leans up and sort of like, "You think you could defeat me?" And then he feels his foot get grabbed and he's getting pulled away. He's like, "Hold that thought." And then gets dusted off cam. And they did a few off camera things that worked really well in the pilot. It's been quite fun to kind of go, because I haven't watched any early Buffy sort of probably since uni, I would think. Like, I had friends who were obsessed with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It was endlessly being rewatched at that point. But yeah, I haven't gone back and watched it, probably because they completely overplayed it at me when I was a teenager.
Yes.
since then. So that's proving to be quite good fun. And it's always good to see, like, looking back at those actors and going, oh, they look so young. And then remembering they're actually, like, I think Buffy's actually 20 and Cordelia is actually about 27 or something, playing a 16-year-old.
Well, yeah, I mean, wasn't Nick Brendon was like 40 even when he was doing the show, wasn't he, or something?
Yeah, it's good fun to go back and watch it. So I have been watching a lot of stuff like that. I've also been watching The Silo. Are you watching that?
Yes, that's superb.
Yeah, I haven't read the book.
Neither
to
have
do
I.
A comparison. I would love to read the book as well. I didn't even know it was a book, but that makes sense. It has that kind of feel. But it has such a nice noir kind of crime thrillery feel to it, whilst also having a sci-fi element that I have to have in order to watch anything. And I do like how they haven't, I was worried they were going to drag everything out.
Yeah.
But they do put, you know, some of the reveals and things. I mean, I won't give any spoilers because it's a brand new series. It hasn't finished airing yet. But some of the things you're like, oh, they're going to spend like 55 episodes before they tell us what's outside. No, they don't do that. They give you, and they do it in a way that's really well done as well. So that we want other people to find things out. We're kind of rooting for a particular outcome and watching them unravel it. And I think I prefer that to shows that just kind of have this thing of, oh, there's something interesting outside. Watch five series and maybe we'll tell you, or maybe it'll be like Lost and we'll go for a writer strike and get very confused and then try and bring it back again. And it feels like it's going to be something that's much more condensed with a solid beginning, middle and end.
Yes.
Then something is going to go on five series before they tell us the answer to the question they've set up with the title.
Yeah. And there's something that Apple does very well, actually, is they do tend to do shorter runs of shows, you know, like C-Words, what, three seasons, and they tend to have sort of plans of beginning, middles and ends for wrapping things up. And given this is based on a book series, I suspect that will be the case for this. It's not something that's going to go on forever. It's not something that they're going to try and drag out. They will tell the story as it needs to be told, and it's what makes it decent quality TV. So I've been really enjoying the first season of that. I think it's, you know, there's, as I say, they do sort of reveal bits, but they don't reveal everything. So there's enough still in there for you to be able to go, I want to know more. And it kind of pushes the motivation of them finding out more. And so, it's just really well put together as a sort of,
it's really well filmed. The world building is extremely solid. You get a real feel for what the society is like and how they're operating. I liked a lot of the use of color and things in it as well. They've managed to make it still feel alive, but at the same time everything is quite dark because they're in a silo. They have limited electricity. It's you know, they are underground, but they've managed to still make it feel like it's a thriving place that's full of life, and they answer a lot of questions you might have. So it does show you how people live in various rungs of society. It does show you, you can't get more raw materials in. They're a closed system because they're in a silo. So what happens to people's stuff, you know? And it's like, so when people pass away, their stuff is recycled, it's passed on. You don't keep things if you're not using them. There's a lot of recycling and fixing of items. There's a very well-planned and a lot of effort put into making it believable.
Yeah.
And making it feel complete and making it interesting to look at with variety, despite the fact that, you know, they're all just living in a metal tube.
Yes. I've been really impressed by that. I think they've done a really solid job of putting that show together. And, but it's hallmark of kind of Apple stuff. As we've said before, it's one of those streaming services that Yes, it is an additional streaming service. It's what, $6.99 or something, or $5.99. But there are a million and one places where you can go and get free months of it, for starters. And although it doesn't have the widest selection, it has the highest quality selection of shows of any of the streaming services. You know, I mean,
Severance is Apple as well, isn't it?
Yes, Severance is an Apple show.
Because that's another one I'm just absolutely chomping at the bit to have another season of, because it's so well crafted.
Yeah. I thought C was a really good show. You've got Morning Show on there, which is great. Ted Lasso, obviously, if you're looking out for comedies. There's just a really good selection of quality dramas, really decent comedies, wide variety of stuff on there. And it's all really well thought through, decent, high quality shows. Because I was watching one on there this time around, which I just randomly kind of picked up. There's a mini series called The Last Thing He Told Me, which I sort of heard a few people saying, oh, that's really, really good. So I thought, oh, well, I'll give it a try. Got completely sucked into it. And I can't really give a huge synopsis of it because it gives too much away, but it's effectively this little family unit. It's got a woman called Hannah, who is stepmother to a girl called Bailey, and she is married to this guy who's played by Nikolai Coster-Waldau, who's the guy that played Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones. He goes off to work, there is an incident, and he disappears. And it then becomes about why he has disappeared, what has actually happened, this relationship sort of, which is kind of tenuous between Bailey, the daughter, and Hannah, the stepmother. And it becomes this sort of big mystery that gradually unfolds over the course of 7 episodes. It is a miniseries, so it's not got continuations going on after it, but a solid 7 episode, well-crafted, well-shot drama. And there's a lot of that sort of stuff on Apple TV. It's well worth picking it up for all the various shows that are on there. Anything else you've been doing, watching?
I've been playing A Little to the Left. I've completed that now.
Ah,
which
okay.
is a very relaxing, chilled puzzle game.
Oh,
so it's all
lovely.
In muted tones, and it's got lovely music. It's also got a cat that occasionally comes and messes your puzzles up and things. But I actually saw that they've got a DLC coming out, which is all about sorting objects into drawers and arranging things. And I thought, you know what? That's actually just really nice. I've been ill, a bit stressed.
My brain can cope with at the moment.
It's tidying. It's something that I don't enjoy at all in real life. But if unpacking taught me anything, I really like doing that when it's not real. So I picked up the base game, and it's just lovely. You're just doing these puzzles. Some of them are arranging objects into a symmetrical pattern, or figuring out which way they need to be arranged, if it's in terms of colors, or lining something up, or moving these boxes around so a little cat will jump up them like a little ladder. And just really lovely and relaxing little indie game. And I'm looking forward to the DLC for that one. So that was nice. How about you? What have you been watching and playing?
Well, apart from Last Thing He Told Me, I have actually got to the end of Star Wars Jedi Survivor, or at least the main story of it. I mean, I've not 100% completed it. There are still lots of things I could go and run around. There is quite a, the bugs in this game have been well documented. There is one specific bug which completely blocks an entire quest line, which is mildly annoying. There is the...
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. It doesn't stop you completing the game, but it's one of the side quests which has to do with going after bounties and bounty hunters. Because obviously you're playing a Jedi, so there are bounty hunters that are coming to try and look for you and take you down. And there is a character that is in the bar that you frequent and go back to, and she's supposed to give you updates to like these bounty hunters and where they are, so you can go and have a battle with them, have a nice chat. I don't know.
A nice chat, but with long sticks.
Yes, but with long sticks. There is an issue that you get this bug when you first meet that character. She will go back to the bar, but then won't give you any of the follow-up missions. So I've not completed any of that bit of that quest line, because it's completely locked to me at the moment. Even though the character is there, she won't talk to me to give me the additional missions. So that's kind of frustrating. Though, I mean, it sort of means that there is some more content that I can dive back into at some point when they've actually got around to fixing that. I could go and play through that section, I guess. But overall, the main storyline I found really enjoyable, and I've not really had any issues with it crashing so much once they put the first couple of patches in on PC. I mean, it should never have launched in the state it launched in. I think that's fair to say. It's difficult to recommend a AAA game at the £60-70 price point as it is for depending what version you buy. It's kind of hard to completely recommend it given the state that it was in. But I will say that I think the storyline, the acting, you know, the action, the running around collectibles and the environments and all that sort of stuff, I think they've done a really good job with. I just wish they'd actually done some proper bug fixing before they'd released the thing. But yes, that I have been really enjoying. On the TV side of things, two finales, one which is Mrs. Maisel, which is an entire series finale, which I think they ended beautifully. The final season, which wasn't actually originally planned to be the final season. They knew it was the final season going into it, but it wasn't the Paladino's decision to actually end it on season 5. It was Amazon's that apparently said, because it is an expensive show to make, because it's doing a lot of stuff in terms of the CGI that you don't see, because it's set in 1960s, 1950s America. So there's a lot of kind of altering and deleting things and that sort of stuff. However, given that they did know that the fifth season was going to be the final season going into it, they have done a really nice job in crafting that final season. And there's flashbacks, there's flash forwards. You get to see relationships end in a really nice way. Very, very well put together, and a solid end to the arc of that show. And I really love that show from start to finish. It's incredibly funny and well worth watching. Citadel also had the finale of its first season, and that, I think, Amazon are going to be breathing a sigh of relief, because they're building an entire, what they're referring to as a spyverse off that Citadel show. This is the series that has Richard Madden in it and Priyanka Chopra Jonas, as well as the female lead. And it is a big, silly, over-the-top spy conspiracy thing. It's sort of Mission Impossible meets Bourne Identity, because the idea is that these lead characters, they work for this international spy agency, something goes wrong, they have their memories wiped, and well, she gets her memory back, he doesn't. The agency that they worked for had collapsed, and who is responsible for that collapse, and is there a spy in their midst, and was there a double agent, and all that sort of stuff. It's very silly, it's very over the top, but thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable and well worth watching. And I think Amazon are obviously very happy with the numbers, and they are building, quite interestingly, a larger, what they're calling this spyverse, but the spin-off shows are done internationally by local companies in their local language. So right. There is one that's been shot in Italy. There is one that's been shot in India. The second one is called Citadel Diana, and that one's the Italian one. There is an Indian one coming afterwards as well. So they're with well-respected local companies that they're doing it with, well-respected actors from those areas. It's very much an Amazon global thing, and it's kind of one of the few things that, well, I mean, I suppose Netflix could do something like this, but it's something that you can see how Amazon can do this quite well. There is a second season of this original show coming as well. They announced that, but I think they've created something quite interesting there, of this sort of big spyverse that they're making with that. That's worth going to check out if you've got a Prime subscription. And the other thing that I looked at was American Born Chinese, which is a new show on Disney Plus. It is based on a graphic novel. It's sort of based around the Chinese monkey mythos, Journey to the West. Yeah. A lot of it is sort of that background. In this particular iteration, it is the son of the monkey god, and he has landed on Earth. He's searching for something called the Fourth Scroll. He believes that this American teenager is his guide. So he ends up at school with this American teenager, and this kid that has been befriended by this son of this mythical god has no idea what he's talking about. And so it becomes this kind of interesting, fun thing with this god in the real world. It's full of action. action, full of the very over-the-top Chinese kung fu kind of things in there as well. It's got a really good cast. It's Ben Wang, I think, is one of the leads. Michelle Yeoh is in there as well. Ki Hu Kwan, he's in there too, although in quite a minor role in this, but really good and fun and very, very enjoyable. I'm about halfway through the first season of that. So a lot of people involved in Everything Everywhere All at Once that pop up in this, which, have you seen that film? Because
I still haven't seen it. I've been too ill to appreciate it. And I refuse really to squander something that amazing when I'm half paying attention.
Yes, you need to go and check out that. And then
I know.
American Born Chinese, I think you will quite enjoy as well.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, awful lot of fun that as well. I think you probably quite enjoy Citadel too, to be honest, because just very, very silly, over the top, not something that you do have to focus on too much either. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I grew up watching a lot of the original Mission Impossible and Man from U.N.C.L.E. and those kind of things that, you know, had some good humour and over the topness going on.
Yes, definitely. Lots of good stuff for you to go and check out. As I say, if you've not looked at Citadel, go and check that out. American Born Chinese, definitely worth looking at. If you've got Apple, last thing he told me, definitely worth looking at. And Silo, he's superb as well. That's all the stuff we have been up to in the last couple of weeks. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
On the TV and film news this week, there are actually rarely no cancellations or things coming to an end. There's a few renewals, though. As I mentioned, Citadel, that's been renewed for a second season. Citadel Diana, which is the Italian-based spin-off, 2024, that is going to land. The Family Stallone, that's been renewed for a second season on Paramount+. The Madame Blanc Mysteries has been renewed by a whole host of people. It's Acorn, Channel 5, and AMC Networks are involved in that, so that's coming back. I literally just told you, which is the Jimmy Carr series, that's been renewed for season 3 by Channel 4. ITV have renewed The Bay for season 5. And the BBC announced a bunch of new and renewed comedies, but the renewed ones are Bad Education, that's coming back, Ramesh Ranganathan's series Avoidance, that's coming back, Diane Morgan's Mandy, that's returning, Peacock, which I think they trialed 3 episodes of, but they've picked that up for a 6-part series as well, so that's coming, and Ellie and Natasha has got new seasons coming as well. So there's lots of new comedy coming to the BBC. There's a couple of air dates as well, which is the Goldbergs finally, E4 have found some time in their busy schedule amongst reruns of Crocodile Dundee they've been doing recently. Season 10 of The Goldbergs is landing on the 5th of June. That's at 7:30. So there's that to look out for. And Sweet Magnolias Season 3, that's coming to Netflix on the 20th of June as well. A couple of little news stories. Prime Video has ordered another graphic novel adaptation. This is called Butterfly, and it's from and starring Daniel Day-Kim. It's another spy show as well, interestingly, given that we've just been talking about Citadel over there. It follows David Jung, who is played by Daniel Day-Kim, an enigmatic, highly unpredictable former US intelligence operative living in South Korea. Jung's life is blown to pieces when the consequences of an impossible decision from his past come back to haunt him, and he finds himself pursued by Rebecca, a deadly sociopathic young agent assigned to kill him. That's the setup for it. It's based on a comic book from Boom Studios. Ken Rudruff, who worked on Mentalist, Gotham and La Brea, is going to be showrunner and is co-creator of the series, alongside, interestingly, crime fiction novelist Steph Cha, who I don't think has any other TV credits as far as I can see, but it's based on a 2015 graphic novel. I don't know that novel at all. I don't know whether you've come across it, but it seems like, it sounds like something that could make an interesting
TV. I know Boom
TV.
Studios, but I don't know Butterfly at all. I'm going to have to do some research into that one.
Yeah, I think that sounds like it could be quite a decent setup for a show. It sounds a little bit Killing Eve. You've sort of got like a spy with a sort of deadly sociopathic young agent sent to kill him. But anyway, that's called Butterfly. They are making that with Daniel Day-Kim. The BBC comedies that they announced, there is a new one from David Mitchell, which is called Ludwig, which is David Mitchell sort of taking up two roles. So John Ludwig Taylor's identical twin, which is James Taylor, disappears off the face of the earth. John takes his brother's identity in a quest to discover his whereabouts. John has never married, never had a family, never really ventured further than his own front door. Without a computer, mobile phone, or even a television, he lives quiet solitude, designing puzzles for a living under the nom de plume Ludwig. This genre-bending detective series follows full-time Luddite John Ludwig Taylor as he assumes the identity of his missing twin brother in a bid to track him down and bring him home. That's the setup for it. I think this sounds like it could be quite good fun and a sort of silly, entertaining take on a detective drama starring David Mitchell in the lead role, who's always wonderful. So I quite like the sound of that. It sounds very British dramery to me.
Yeah, I love the fact that if you weren't quite listening, someone who's taking over the life of their identical twin, which happens to work in the police force to find out why the other person has vanished, sounds almost like an elevator pitch for the first couple of episodes of Orphan Black.
But
clearly,
yes,
it's not the same thing whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I'm quite enjoying how two things that could possibly sound like the same thing are going to be in no way remotely related at all.
Yes.
But I like David Mitchell's particular dry, sarcastic British approach to comedy, so I'll definitely be checking this out.
Yes. So that one's called Ludwig. That's one to look out for. There's one called Spent, which stars Michelle de Swartz as Mia, a catwalk model who is on the run mainly from herself. Long term, it's a story of personal renewal, but for now, the stark reality is that her career is over. She's flat broke and homeless. This is a woman who, despite her humble beginnings, has become accustomed, possibly even addicted, to the finer things in life. Unfortunately, those lifestyle choices don't carry much currency when she's pushing 40 and permanently sofa surfing. She may have a highfalutin attitude and a world-class skincare regime, but Mia's now living on the breadline. That one's called Spent. Not entirely sure that one's for me. I don't know the actress particularly, I don't think. So, you know, well, I'll have to wait and see with that, but that's called Spent. There is one called Mammoth, which is a comedy about a man of his time called Tony Mammoth, played by Mike Bubbins. He's a PE teacher who's presumed to have been killed in an avalanche on a school trip in 1979. When his body is discovered decades later in the present day, Mammoth is miraculously brought back from the dead and has to try to rebuild his life as a PE teacher in modern day Cardiff.
I wasn't there a comedy movie in the 80s about a caveman?
California Man.
California
yes.
Man.
Or Encino Man, as it was known in America, yes.
Yeah, it's very California Man, and I'm disturbed that 1979 is equivalent to the Stone Ages in this version.
Yes, Encino Man, which stars two Oscar winners, because it's Brendan Fraser was the lead in that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ki Huan, who picked up an Oscar as well for Everything Everywhere, was also in that film as well. So it's now got two Oscar-winning actors who worked on that movie, which really makes me laugh. But yes, it does sound somewhat similar to that as a setup. But I think there may have been, it went out as a comedy short or something. I think there was a version of this that went out. So there may be clips of it running around, but they've ordered it as a full series now. So that's Mammoth. And the last thing is called Dinosaur, which stars Ashley Story as Nina, an autistic woman in her 30s, adores her life living with her sister and her best friend Evie. Yet when Evie rushes into an engagement after only 6 weeks and makes Nina her maid of honor, Nina is flawed. Forced to reconcile with her sister's impulsive decision, Nina grapples with what this new challenge means, leading to a surprising journey of self-discovery. So that's the setup for that one. Again, it's difficult to tell really directly with that setup, and I don't really know the actress, but that's called Dinosaur, that one as well. So, yeah, I think there's a couple of interesting looking. Ludwig and Mammoth, I think, particularly sound quite interesting out of that group. There was a little bit of Doctor Who news as well, which is Anidra Varma is returning to Doctor Who because I don't think she was actually in Doctor Who. She was in Torchwood previously, but she's taking up a new role when Shuti Gatwa takes over as the 15th Doctor. She's going to be one of the many guest stars that are appearing in that series, and she's playing a character called the Duchess, who we know nothing more about other than Russell T. Davies says a whole new audience will be hiding behind their city when the Duchess unleashes her terror. So clearly she's playing some sort of villainous character, which, I mean, is great because Indra Varma is superb at playing whatever she turns her hand to, really. But I think she'll be particularly good in the villainous role. So, yes.
Yeah, villain roles in Doctor Who are kind of the most fun ones to play as
absolutely.
Well, right?
Yeah, they've got some really interesting guest stars coming up for the new season as well. So I think that's going to be quite good fun. She was in Torchwood, but this, of course, wouldn't be the first time that they've reused actors. I mean, Peter Capaldi himself, who went on to be the Doctor, appeared in an episode, and Freema Agyeman appeared in episodes as somebody else. Karen Gillian appeared in episodes as somebody else as well. So, you know.
Yeah, we had the whole kind of like, oh, no, that was my cousin that worked in that building with the Cybermen. We just look really similar.
Yes.
And Karen Gillian was in the Pompeii episode. She was one of the characters sort of in the background. She had some makeup on her face. Yeah, they really do have a tendency to just sort of like put someone in the background or a small speaking role and then go, actually, you, come back.
Yes, reusing people is not uncommon in the Hooniverse. So yeah, I'm just happy to see her back on screen again and back in Who. So I think that will be wonderful. I think I'm really looking forward to, well, not only the return of David Tennant, I think those three episodes are going to be great, but also Shuti taking over as the 15th Doctor, because they seem to have got a lot more money behind it for this new season, and you've got Russell T. Davies coming back, so we know what the writing's likely to be like. I'm really, really excited for this when it returns.
I'd fallen off the bandwagon a little bit when it came to Doctor Who recently, yeah. But I did really like Russell T. Davies's run, so I think I might try and get back into it again.
Yes, I think it's such a genius move putting David Tennant, who arguably of the new Doctors has been the most popular, I think is fair to say, to put him in for three episodes and use that as a jumping off point when you're sort of relaunching it once again, and to bring Russell back for the relaunch, because although it's staying on the BBC in the UK, internationally it's going out on Disney Plus, so it's got those Disney dollars behind it as well as the BBC, and you've got Bad Wolf involved, so it's the team that did the original Russell run. I'm really, really interested to see what they do with this. I think it's going to be great.
I mean, some people may say, hey, they're just doing that to get more bums on seats, and I'll be like, yes, and it's working.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You could be as cynical as you like with that one. It's absolutely going to work because we all want to see it.
Yeah, no, totally. It's like, well, how's David Tennant back? So, I mean, the people that have been following it will be like, okay, that's going to be interesting. We'll have to see that. And then Shuti, I think he's going to be really, really good in the role. So I think it's a really clever way of a soft relaunch of the whole franchise and to bring it to a wider audience. So
I think reinventing itself is exactly what Doctor Who does. They've done it from the first time they wanted to swap the Doctor to somebody else. And they can just keep reinventing it and change as much of it as they like. And I will dip into it again and see if I like this new stuff. If not, I'll carry on watching the older stuff.
Yes, exactly. That comes back in November, I think it is, for the David Tennant stuff. And then Shuti, I think, appears in that run a little bit, and then he's first properly introduced in the Christmas episode. So there's a Christmas special this year, and then it's a full season next year. Lots of stuff to look forward to with Doctor Who. That's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We have Good Trouble Season 5. That's coming on the 30th of May to Disney Plus, so you can keep an eye out for that. Single Drunk Female Season 2. That's coming to Disney Plus on the 31st as well. Who Do You Think You Are? The genealogy series on the BBC. That's landing for its 20th season. That's on the 1st of June at 9 p.m. Manifest returns for its final set of episodes. That's on the 2nd of June on Netflix. Queen of the Universe, the drag competition. It's a singing drag competition, this one, just to differentiate it from all the other, like, RuPaul drag competitions. This is coming to Paramount Plus on the 3rd of June. The Sam Levinson series, The Idol, which has been getting quite a lot of press, it's from Sam Levinson and The Weeknd, stars Lily Rose Depp in the lead role as a sort of young singer that gets wrapped up in the sort of everything that goes along with that in the music industry. Coming to Sky Atlantic on the 5th of June, that is The Idol. And Somebody Somewhere, season 2 of that comedy, lands on the 6th of June at 9 p.m. on Sky Comedy. That's all the stuff for next week. If people want to find more of you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I can be found as Trista Bytes on all the social medias. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. I've also got a collection of interviews and things up on YouTube over the years, some that I was doing for my channel, some that I've done for other channels. You should be able to find there. That's Trista Bytes on YouTube. And I stream every week over on twitch.tv/TristaBytes as well, if you'd like to pop by. We just hang out, we chat. We've recently been making some tier lists of things. It's National Biscuit Day, so the next one might be a tier list of biscuits, just because why not?
Why not?
Yeah, it's just a place to hang out and hopefully be entertained for a few hours on your weekdays. And also, if you really want to, you can now find me over on Jinx TV on Sky 45.
Yes.
Because they have actually put me on that television thing now. And I have a small show that I did for them, which is called Technically Speaking, where I was paid to throw a very nice Western Digital solid state drive at a concrete floor to see if it would survive the drop test it said it would on the box.
There you go. Yes. I have seen some of the Technically Speaking episodes. They are very good and very entertaining.
Thank you.
Yes, that's Jinx TV. It's Jinx with a G, isn't it?
That's, it is.
Yes. But you can go and find that. I think they're up online as well, some of those episodes. So for everywhere else, it's Trista Bytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. So go and find Bex over there. For other people involved in the show, you can, of course, find Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org for lots and lots more podcasts. I don't know whether they're still playing the football season, but I'm sure there'll be some moaning about Man U on there as well. And Daryl, who is over on HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series that you love, which are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, on Instagram at geektownuk, and on TikTok at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.